This call is being recorded by the meeting organizer. By staying on the call, you are giving your consent to being recorded.
Got some cold water. You want water? Don't put it on hold.
Okay. Okay. Tallahassee, are you there? Yeah. We got a lot left to cover.
You're there.
Lord only knows. We are on the back of the first.
We almost discussed the budget, so we might be ahead.
Tallahassee, are you there?
This is Christian. I'm here.
Okay, good. All right. One, two, three.
We've got Vernita here.
Four, five. Okay, we have a quorum. Christian and Vernita makes a quorum, right?
This is Andrew. I know my phone is messing up a little, but I'm here as well.
Okay, good. Very good. Okay, so we were, I believe, on the discussion of adoption of a budget. And in consultation with my subject matter experts, I believe that here on the ground here in Opa-locka anyway, might come as a surprise to Mr. Heekin back home, but we're going to try to figure this out. So, if I can suggest a possibility that if the city adopts a budget in their 9/28 meeting, and then still giving this board the opportunity to have input and the process by which that budget would be considered and reviewed and subject to review and approval by the governor, we could still, through our emergency expenditure protocol, on an invoice-by-invoice, expenditure-by-expenditure basis, continue to operate subject to that emergency expenditure process that would be consistent with how we've handled this, even though we're in this weird space with a budget and all of that. So I'm thinking that will allow us to do what we are. I'm going to go. It allows the city to adopt the budget that's required to balance, and then it allows us to provide expenditure by expenditure oversight through the emergency process that we've adopted. And I think that will probably allow us to have a win-win for all parties concerned. We'll need to see as soon as we've got an approved budget relatively quickly. So we'll talk about having our next meeting.
Melinda, I'm sorry, you're breaking up and we're hearing like every third syllable. I don't know what's going on.
Is that better?
That is better, I think.
Okay, so we're talking about adopting a budget or having the city commission adopt a budget by the 9/28 deadline. And then on a contingent basis, subject to review and approval of the expenditures, on an expenditure-by-expenditure, invoice-by-invoice basis through the vice chair, maybe with some additional support by through public meeting by Frank, we can continue to operate. That'll give us still the time to deliberate over the budget in accordance with the interlocal government agreement. We will check that with you, Jack, whenever I get back to be sure that's all on me.
Wait. Can I ask a question about that, just about the process, functionally? It doesn't sound like it's any different from what we're doing now, except you're proposing more emergency expenditure requests as opposed to the contract committee?
That's correct.
Okay.
The part that is up for discussion, though, is whether or not the budget is adopted at the 10 mills versus an alternate amount. The document that's been circulated to members of this board and reviewed by the budget experts is the document that's based upon the passage of the 10 mills. So the process would then, if that 10 mills is a different amount, then that could throw off the review of what we've seen already. It would be something that would be modified from that. That if the 10 mills is not passed, it sounded like Merritt suggested that, that might be at least an additional $300,000-some-odd cut. Is that correct?
Yeah, whatever millage they adopt, if it is less than the 10 mills, they have to cut approximately $71,000 per tenth of a mill. Per tenth, thank you. So if they go 9.8, then it's $140,000. If they go...
Okay.
He was having a heart attack. So I said something.
This is Christian Weiss here. And I'm not quite following the timeline here. I apologize. But it seems to me that Chapter 200 requires the setting of the millage. The setting of the millage will happen at their budget meeting. I do not believe, and I'm not an expert in this, but maybe Andrew probably knows much more about it, but I don't believe that when we re-examine the 20-day period, within the 20-day period, that we can then, quote-unquote, recommend a cut of the millage, because the millage on October 1 or thereabouts has to go to the property appraiser or the tax collector to be put onto the property notices. So I think that, you know, the millage decision has to happen before October 1. And also, in the proposal right now, I'm not sure there is a valid budget in existence on October 1 under the proposal. That's why I don't know what authority Jack quoted, but I really like the idea of a continuation budget that's based on last year's budget. Who cares whether it's higher or lower, because it's just, you know, for 15, 20 days. And then in 166.241, the city has authority to amend that budget. And, you know, you can amend the budget by saying strike everything after the enacting clause or get rid of the entire budget, and here's our new budget that has been approved by the city council, of course, first, and then presented to the oversight board and presumably adopted, or the city has to go back and make further changes based on our recommendations. But I'm really concerned about this direction, and I apologize for that.
I'm not sure I followed exactly.
No, I think he was actually right.
Okay.
They have to act, and the state law is very clear that you need to act prior to October 1st and certify a millage to the tax collector. Now, the commission can come along later and say that, instruct the manager, they're going to make a budget amendment. They can make a budget amendment anytime during the year, but they can't change the millage. They could raise other fees. They can direct the manager to spend less. That's fine.
Right.
And I think perfectly legal. But that budget has to be certified on the advertised date, and we're meeting the legal requirements by advertising the final budget hearing, and it has to be adopted at the end of that hearing. Now, it may go 4 in the morning, and I've attended a few like that. But that guy even had a parade in my honor. You realize that? It was by city employees, and they were marching up and down the city hall at the auditorium saying, asking for my dismissal.
No, I'm kidding. Don't give me
that. Was a long meeting too. Harry Wilson. You remember Harry? You don't, but I do. Harry Wilson was like the Howard Jarvis of Miami-Dade County, and he made a decimal thing. We had a referendum that would have totally destroyed the county. And he was orchestrating people to stand up and cheer, call for my resignation.
Okay, so, yes, sir.
Yes, I'm for the city continuing to conduct business under the process of the emergencies.
Okay.
Because the reality is the October 1st date is, like you said, the law, and they have to comply. So
okay.
As long as we can have a win-win, that would be great from my perspective.
All right. So is that a motion?
Yes, it is.
All right. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you. Okay. We still have quite a bit to cover. I'm wondering if we should maybe jump forward and try to cover the board member conversations and then give Yvette a chance to weigh in on issues that are under her report as they come up under the board. Maybe that's a way we can shorten it, but I'll make sure that we, with your help, Vice Chair, to make sure we cover everything. So if I could call on Christian to give an estimating conference committee update.
Well, there really is no update, but I need to go back to the conversation we just had. And it seems to me if we just let the city go forward with their budget deliberation next week, then the board implicitly or explicitly is approving the millage that the board, by whatever vote, will approve. In other words, you know, presumably the board, although I think it was a close vote, but I don't recall, right now has 10 mills in there. Obviously, I don't know what the vote will be next week, but I don't see, and I want to make sure everybody is comfortable with that, I again see no way that the board has any power, any opportunity to go back and lower this millage rate. And so I just don't think there is. And that's really, and I don't have any further to report.
Do we have any power now that we're somehow giving up, or we just don't have that power?
Well, we have the power to not set the millage rate, but we certainly, and again, I have no inside knowledge into, you know, how reasonable and how dire the current budget is. We only have recommendations and asked to, as Bush pointed out, for a half mil cut, we would need to find cuts of roughly $360,000, or we would have to ask the city to find cuts of $360,000. And it seems like, you know, from everything that I hear from the budget experts, they say it is already an extraordinary lean budget. And of course, I accept their expertise, but that to me does imply that we are accepting the 10 mil property tax rate, and I think we just need to be aware of that.
Thank you, Christian. This is Andrew. That's exactly the point that I was trying to make before the break. Like, I think like everybody else, I needed a Snickers to be a little more cogent, but that was a really good point, and that's what I wanted to say as well.
You know, one of the things that the board can do is provide cover for the electives here at the local level relative to a recommendation that we might be able to make about that revenue stream. And, you know, while it affects the citizens, maybe there's some opportunity for us to recommend what the millage should be in their budget discussions that where we're on the record, and we may already be on the record from prior meeting, but maybe we need to reiterate where we were relative to this conversation. Is that fair to say?
I think that's a good idea. I would make a motion that the board support a millage rate of 10 mils.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. And Merritt just noted that it was in his report recommending it also. Okay. So motion carries. Okay. I see we've been joined by Madam Mayor. Good afternoon. How are you, ma'am? We're doing fine. We're doing fine. We're moving through. Moving forward. All right. Okay, so Christian, did that cover the extent of your update?
Yes.
Okay. Tab number 13 is, no, I'm sorry, I'm going too fast. Board Member Rollison.
Good afternoon. What I'm going to do is I'm going to present to you in a very abbreviated format the invoices, two different sets that were approved or recommended to be approved by the by our committee yesterday at our meeting. You have, I believe, a package or a couple of cover sheets that were presented to you yesterday, which have been modified this morning because evidently through just a quirk of misunderstandings, I think, that several of them were left out that we approved. What's supposed to be in there that you don't have on yours, this is the general fund now, is item number 42, 43, and 44. They were the three toll invoices that we discussed. There's no doubt that they owe those toll invoices. The question came that there are some other invoices coming, and there was talk about holding back on these until those showed up. But the reality is, if we don't pay these, then we're going to pay the fee, the fine for not paying the toll in time. So we put them back on. So they're not big ticket items, but there are items that the city obviously owes. So now for the general fund, the total amount that we're talking about approving is $476,920.73. So that incorporated the ones that were added in yesterday, and it also took out the pump invoice, which some of you may not be privy to, that was handled separately as an emergency. So if there are any questions on any of these invoices that are there, we have them all here in front of us. They're all invoices that are due, that are legitimate, and are supported by the documentation that's been presented. One of them required commission action, which we talked about today, where they approved the My Lawn Service invoices that we held off on before, which was items 27, 28, and 29. Those are back due invoices that I was not comfortable moving forward because of the way the contract and the change order was executed without commission approval. So it was just taken back to the commission this last commission meeting, and they ratified those actions taken by the then city manager at that time. So are there any questions on any of these? We'll be glad to get into them and answer them. And if not, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Any questions? Yes, Merritt.
I'm trying to, Charmaine, are these items included in the financial figures that we have for year end? I mean, are we is this $477,000, have you factored into the budget that this is being paid?
It's not factored into the new budget because we're supposed to pay this by before the end of the budget, this budget year, for the end of this year.
But they're factored into your cash flow.
It's factored into the cash flow, the cash that we actually have now.
They're coming out of the $900,000 that's in the balance right now. So they paid a payroll yesterday, correct?
Yes.
That left the $900,000 and change.
Change, yes.
And now this $476,920.73 comes out of that $900,000 and change, which is going to bring them down to about five. And that was the point I was making this morning, that in 2 weeks another payroll is due about, and that one's going to be about $500,000.
That's the one. That payroll is the payroll that the first week in October.
Yes. Right. Now, hopefully there's going to be more revenues coming in the next couple of weeks. And then, right, I mean, that's the theory.
More revenue will be coming in, but it won't be significant.
I understand. So. No, we're getting down. We've dwindled it down, and we're now down to the wire.
Yes.
With and this is when a month or so ago, and we sat here, and I had done some calculations on the back of my hand of what it was going to take them to get to into January, and I figured about $10 million. And I still think that we're at that point. So what's going to happen is we're pulling down the general fund. They'll have to go into the where you're allowed to go into those accounts that they gave the permission on. But right now we're in general fund. We're not hitting into those accounts yet.
We actually hit the water and sewer operating. We transferred $500,000, but that was already budgeted for
right.
In the 2016 budget.
Right.
So,
in terms of what the resolutions actually were for,
right.
No, we haven't done that.
We haven't done that yet. So, and we've got about 1.7 in that, or 1.2?
In the water and sewer operating, we have 2.285, $2,200,000.
In the operating, but what about the ones we haven't hit?
That is, well, that actually is the one we haven't hit. That's the. The reserve, you mean?
Right.
Is 1.2.
Yeah,
1.2.
So you moved 500,000 out of the 2.2?
No. The 2.2 is what we currently have. The 500,000 was removed prior.
Was already removed.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So we got 2.2 there, and we got 1.2 hitting the in the reserve. Okay.
And we still have some money in the account for the 11 and 15 notes in the bank.
Yeah, he keeps bringing
yes, sir.
That one up.
Yes, sir. That money is still there.
Well, I mean, I'd rather use that money before we go on the market and borrow money.
Because as we discussed previously, the bank has already indicated that they are uncomfortable with the current status of the city, the current financial status of the city. And although not required by any document, we're leaving that money in there in an effort to try to allay their fears about the conditions of the city.
We'll eventually get to that point where a decision will have to be made one way or another unless the revenues come in. So anyway.
What are the projected revenues for the month of October?
I'd also like to make a point. I hear the number of $7.1 million in property taxes. According to my information, the city of Opa-locka's taxable value is $644.9 million. So 10 mils or 1% would raise $6.4 million. So I'm not quite sure if the city expects, you know, that $700,000 in late taxes and stuff like that. But pure taxable value times millage raises only $6.4 million. And so you guys may want to take a look at that.
Christian, this is Yvette. We actually, I believe our numbers came directly from the county appraiser's office as recently as last week when we had our, David.
They gave you $712 million in taxable value or $714?
The 2016, which is for the 16-17 fiscal year, tax collector number is $751,500,000, so it's $751,000 a mil.
Okay, thanks.
But that's at 100%, the budget at 95.
So we budgeted at 95, I assume. And the other part of this is that I don't believe, as what I've been told, the lion's share of this doesn't start to show up until the second quarter.
That's right, January.
Right, in January. So as where some other communities, they get more on the front end, those that pay their taxes all up front, this is not the history here. So, look, the money's there to cover these, and also I'll point out to the board that staff is working on a report for me on the last three go-rounds that we had these, so we can see exactly what checks have been issued against what we approved to be paid, because it doesn't seem to balance out to exactly, you know, if we approve X and you pay Y. You can't pay more than X, but you're not paying all of X.
Yes, we're working on a report to show what we have paid by a check and also by wire, because some accounts require wire. FRS is one of those.
Right.
So, and ACHs, I should say.
Right.
So you'll get those reports with the dates and the check numbers and what took place.
So what I'm pointing out to you is that she's what Charmaine has given us is what the real balance is, the 900,000, right?
Yes.
Whatever. Okay.
What we have.
And that means if some of those checks that we approved before have not gone, that when they do go, they're going to hit against that balance as well as what I'm approving here, what we're approving here for the 476. So we're approving whether they're going to go by wire or check, but with the assumption that that's what's going to go out the door. But then that doesn't go out the door, and then we have a bigger pot of money that we think we have available, but there's still some bills here that the check wasn't issued or the wire wasn't sent. So that's what I'm looking for, that report, so we can then reconcile against these that we've approved previously and that have not been paid. So it's tantamount to, and I'm not saying it's exactly the same, but it's like the situation where you found with checks in the drawer, these checks haven't been cut, but they've been approved, and we have debited that money in our mind.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't come out of the pot yet.
That's why we asked the question about the $400,000 and $500,000,
right,
you just did. But we've been David has been monitoring this very carefully as to when we would need the bridge loan, okay? Because we know that's coming up. And preliminarily, we're looking that you may not need it until January. And that's flexible. But I've asked him to come and sit with you because you're the one that is governing the payment of these invoices. And there are invoices both in the general fund, water and sewer, and so forth. So he'll give you a personal visit and a call to brief you. And we are on top of that to the best we can be.
You just have to keep in mind that what I review is what's presented to me.
Right.
Somebody filters that before it gets to me. So we know there's other ones out there that people are not getting paid.
I know that all too
well.
All
right. All right. So today we're recommending that that we pay these invoices unless, as they're presented to you, with the couple of changes that I added with the expressway tolls for $476,920.73. So I'll entertain a motion for that from the general fund if somebody will make it.
I so move, Frank.
Second. Anybody?
Oh, second. This is Kim.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries.
All right. The next batch of invoices are the water and sewer invoices. Now, in that batch, you have the correct cover sheet that was sent to you yesterday, and it was reduced from 4 vendors to 3. The fourth one that we took off, at the meeting yesterday, were water bill deposits, and it just didn't reconcile out, and we're going to get together and go through that and bring it on the next one. So what you have are 3 invoices in front of you. It totaled $3,687.80. It comes out of the utilities, the water and sewer fund. If there's any questions on those, they're pretty straightforward.
Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second. This is Kim.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries.
And the only other thing that I'll hit on a little bit is to try to bring you an update on Cairo Lane a little. The rest of the items we're working on, I've got information on the CRA. We're still working on the city properties. The tenant leases are not perfectly clear, but we're going through them. And the trash, I think we beat that one to death this morning with what's happening with solid waste. But Cairo Lane, I think we got off the dime last month or earlier this month or I guess late last month when we had the meeting with everybody. And I think everybody's doing their share to get this project back into operation. So today we approved a couple of surveys. I know that staff has had conversations with Port Power and Light, and they're ready to go to move the poles when you get the property. And we heard today that the deal on the property is going to come before the commission at the next commission meeting, so that'll take care of that. And then the commission wisely also approved that extra infrastructure work that's under the roadway where they're going to be working. So it sounds like that project to me is on track. The only issue that's still kind of outstanding is the release of funds from the state based upon what was presented to them by the contractor for American Iron Works. And my understanding is that the state has not accepted what was presented. So, but there was also a statement that wasn't addressed in the letter that the contractor sent to the city, was forwarded to the state, that said that should the state not accept their documentation, that they were willing to go in and replace all the fittings at their expense to get this cash flowing again. And that really wasn't addressed. Now, the contractors told me, I had a conversation with him on the phone yesterday. We discussed this issue. And he is not going to wait to mobilize again to go back in and do these fittings. He will go in now and get those fittings done so we can get this project moving, because those, what's happening is getting those fittings done, getting the land, getting the poles moved, are all items that have to take place before he remobilizes and gets out there and starts moving. He can't mobilize and then go out there and start replacing fittings. He's not going to be able to keep subcontractors on site. They got to be able to come and work. So the question now comes, is the state willing or unable or whatever to release some of this money with the last pay app that we have in that's being based upon them saying that they will go in and replace these fittings, and which would be monitored at this end, I'm assuming, with our inspections and with the state inspector that comes down here. I know he comes into our city and looks at our project. So I just sort of want to hear from the state, because the longer we push this out, if the state says we have to wait until they're actually replaced and whatever, we'll lose another month pushing it out. We're going to be into the holidays, and I know what happens on these construction sites in the holidays, and we were hoping we could wrap this thing up and get it started rather quickly. So I don't know if anybody up there can comment on what the state's position is on releasing this money.
I know that Angela Connect was with us, and she had to leave.
That's right.
For her right. To catch her next.
You're right.
I think it's a plane, I assume.
Yeah.
And so she's not here to be able to comment on
well,
that.
Well, we'll follow up on that and find out what's happening with that.
Okay.
Because that's the one element now that's waiting for a decision. If the land's being bought, the poles are being moved, the fittings are going to be replaced, we're on target to get this project going back again. And we're,
mm-hmm.
and we're coming into the dry season, hopefully, which will allow them to work every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's imperative that we strike and we get it done if we can get it done. So
mm-hmm.
that's all I have. And if, you know, we can follow up with Angela on that. And I didn't think about answering that when she was here.
Yeah, we could have done that. But you submitted a report that I forwarded to Mayor Taylor and the members of the commission back on September the 8th that contained in that some recommendations. I'd like to just formally maybe get a motion to accept your report with your recommendations.
This the one on Cairo Lane?
Yes, sir. This
yes.
one
right.
with the general contractor recommendations. I'm hopeful that we can move this forward. I suggested that the commission take this up and look at the recommendations, but I think a formal recommendation from this body to accept your recommendations and have the commission
the
consider
commission.
This. Yes, for consideration.
I so move. Chair.
Second? Anyone?
I'll second it.
Seconded by all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, Vice Chair Patterson.
My reports will be fairly simple relating to the water and sewer billing collection process. David Ritchie has been on the ground for a few months, and his team is still working on that. And as I heard some things this morning, I'm pretty happy with how things are moving in regards to people getting notices and actually getting their funds or their payments in on time and things of that nature. So it's not a formal report, but it is in process. And the same thing relating to item two with the billing review as well as the general fund documentation relating to water and sewer. The last thing I want to comment on is the police department's assessment is still ongoing as well. Now, hopefully have a written report for you by the end of the month. And as you heard the chief talk about reorganization and the motions and things of that nature, we talked about that before it became a reality, and I'm glad he did it because I strongly support his reorganization efforts to bring down the level of supervision and the availability of more people for patrol. That's basically my report, Madam Chair.
All right, thank you. You said you'd have your recommendations by the end of October today?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, awesome. Okay. Board Member Andrew Collins, do you have an update?
Andrew had to get off the call to go to a 3:30 meeting. He may be back later, so maybe put him back at the end of the list and see if he's back by the time you're done.
Okay. Patty, if you'll let me know when he shows back up so that I can properly recognize him, that would be terrific.
Okay, I'll do my best.
Thanks. Okay, Kim Mills.
I have not followed up with try to get in touch with Markham or follow up with Charmaine to try to see if we could have some movement on this, but I will take care of that before our next meeting to kind of see the status of that particular audit. And then on the looking towards obtaining forensic auditing services, I did not make any progress on that either because in order for them to come in and do some kind of work, the financials need to be in some kind of auditable state. And so I'm waiting on us to get to a place where if someone comes in to do a forensic audit, they've got good records to start with, unless there's some other direction or guidance from the board. And then with one question as to, is this the services that the board was going to acquire, or are these services that the city will be obtaining?
I think that's unknown at this point.
Okay. Is there some guidance then you can give me on what you'd like for me to do on this one with the forensic auditing services, if there's anything at this particular point you want me to follow up with?
I'm going to pose that question to Yvette in just a second. She's taking a question from staff. Hang on just a second. The question has to do with auditing services. What kind of technical expertise can we provide you with regards to auditing services?
Is there anything, I know that you've got a annual audit requirement. Mm-hmm. There's an audit committee requirement in statute, and I'm not aware of an audit committee. But the charter does mandate that the city commission provide for that audit. So
yes.
Is there some information that you can provide us relative to maybe some technical assistance that we can provide on this front?
In terms of our financial audit for 2014-15, the county provided us with a CPA, and he is working with staff to go over all the accounts, reconcile, make sure they reconcile properly, make any recommendation regarding adjusting entries. And this is in an effort we hope to finish and do everything before September 30th to have at least something that we can say is somewhat accurate, even without a external audit. So right now the county is providing that technical assistance to the finance department. Right now, we do need an external auditor because most of our outside agencies would like to have an audit completed and sign off by an independent auditor. And that will play a role in us getting additional funding. And we apply for grants as required. We also have to send that to the clearinghouse and make a report to the bond holders and the company, this City National that's holding the mortgage on this, our building. So we do need an audit completed. We needed to get the proper financial.
So Charmaine, has there been any actions taken with the resignation of the prior CPA firm? Has been anything done since then?
In terms of securing an auditor?
Yes.
No, we have not taken any action to secure an auditor. However, Mr. Sternheim recommended reaching out to the county, and that's something that we're going to do as soon as next week to get that completed.
Okay.
And that was part of your recommendations in your report, right, Merritt?
Yes. Kathy Jackson can't do it. But the county has, as I understand it, several different auditors auditing different functions externally. And you should be able to select, the commission can select from that group. But it will require discussions with Ed and Kathy and get the list and the names and so forth and so on and proceed.
Would that still be something that... it's my understanding it's part of the charter and it's part of the commission's requirements to ensure that there is an annual external audit. So would that require a RFP or three quotes, or how would that be selected by the city?
Well, I believe the county used a competitive process, and so maybe we can just select three auditors and review and recommend to the commissioners, you know, which one to go with. We'll also work with the county representative and Mr. Sternheim to see what the best options are.
Okay.
The thought being you don't need to go through the RFP process, which takes
right.
an excessive amount of time. And the need for speed here is you're essentially two years behind, so you want them to do the 14-15 external audit, and then which will take them at least 6 months probably, maybe longer, and then start on this fiscal year.
But there still needs to be some process by which you understand how much they're going to charge you and what their quotes are.
Which is why I indicated that we would look at what the county had to offer and make three selections and make a recommendation.
And then begin some negotiations on price.
Yes.
Mr. Kelly?
I just wanted to say that's what the attorney
was mentioning earlier, because I have on the agenda for our next meeting to direct the manager to do exactly that as referenced in the report, because I know we need to do that as a body and then go forward, but I will save time on the procurement process so we can get it done a lot quicker.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
This is Kim. Charmaine, doesn't the audit have to be done by an independent CPA firm?
Yes, the audit must be completed by an independent person. Which,
okay.
But the county have that available to them, and so we're trying to, in a better term, piggyback on using some of their independent audit firm.
Okay.
They've already been vetted.
Does that comply with the selection requirements that local government entities have to follow for selecting their CPA firm?
Yvette's nodding her head yes.
Yes, because the county already goes through the same vetting process.
Okay.
Kim, are you specifically talking about the audit committee selection process that's in statute that recommends?
Yes.
Okay, like in, what is it, 218-603 or something?
Yeah, and I had it. I don't have it back right now, but something like that where it tells you how you have to go and how many bids you have to have and the process you have to go through for selecting an audit firm.
I'm getting kind of a nod from their lawyer that he's going to, don't let me put words in your mouth, but ensure that the city complies with the legal requirements. Yes, he's going to do that. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Thank you, Kim. Does that conclude your report?
Well, let me ask you this question. The item on the agenda is regarding the forensic auditing services. That discussion started by several meetings ago where we were indicating maybe the board needed some independent validation of the numbers and maybe a forensic audit providing some pro bono services to the board itself, or if not pro bono, that was when we were talking about maybe going through the state contract. So the forensic auditing question is kind of still out there, but is that just kind of on hold for right now? With the assistance that we're getting from the county and from Mr. Sterheim?
I think so. I know it's an option that's in our toolkit.
Okay.
And then the question becomes who and where would the funding come from? So.
All right. I will follow up with Charmaine on the Markham contract, and we'll kind of touch bases and move forward on that. But that concludes my report.
Okay. Thank you. All right, board member Vernita Nelson.
Good afternoon again, everyone. I'm going to start from the bottom here. I've got four bullet points I need to speak on. The last one is just with the lawn maintenance service contract. The commission, Opa-locka Commission, has taken up the city manager's recommendation, and we also took that up today. We are experiencing, just for the record, some savings based on some comparative costs that I provided to the city manager and some research that she did on her own. So I think that's a win-win. I'm going to check that off. The review of the, actually it's not the gas key, it's the P card, purchasing card, policies and procedures. Some time ago I transmitted the city's P-card policies and procedures to City Manager Yvette Harrell. I know with me diving in and working with staff on the fiscal year 17 budget, I haven't had a chance to work with the procurement department on sort of strengthening their policies and procedures, but hopefully that is being done in-house as we speak. And I will follow up with that once we get through this budget process. That leads us to review of the draft budget. That was done some weeks ago. We provided comments on each line item for every department. I have been meeting with David Morris and Charmaine and her staff probably twice a week as David and Charmaine plug through trying to put together a budget, FY17 budget for approval by the commission and then by the board. And you guys have heard where we are in that progress. because of the work that we've been doing for the budget, which has been very time consuming, I sort of let the fleet stuff slip through the cracks. So I will pick that ball up once we get through this October date. However, I have been able to provide some resources to Opelika's IT department to put up the security cameras that they have in their possession. So we understand the need to police some of the resources that we have in the city of Opelika. I am proud to say that we were able to work with the IT department to get the security cameras up at the fueling pump, and that should be monitored by the police department. And we are working out logistics to get one or two more security cameras, the City of Miami Gardens bucket truck over to the City of Opelika to install a few more of security cameras. So that should be happening in the next week or so. And that's all I have to report.
Thank you, Vernita. Any questions? Okay. Board member Angela Connect has left just a few moments ago, maybe 30 minutes ago, so we're going to skip over hers, and we're going to pursue the answers to those two outstanding items. What's the pleasure of the board? Should we go back to Yvette and see here what still remains? Yvette, ready? All right. Well, you are recognized.
Good afternoon. Actually, to begin with, I needed to answer a question that was posed with respect to this SunTrust loan. The actual amount of the loan first of all, the loan was actually, the loan agreement was entered into December 1 of 2006. The total payment amounts, which looked to be every quarter, totals $4 million, $229,780.40. And this again was the loan for the meters. And $4 million is the amount that totals the payment amount for the term of 10 years. And I believe that information has been uploaded. The balance is 105. In fact, the payments were 105.41 or 41 cents every payment. I believe that information has been uploaded to the Google Docs, but the entire agreement is available for your review.
105,000?
Yes, ma'am.
And change?
105,000. Okay.
$41.
Well, to be exact, $105,744.71.
And those were annual payments? Or?
No, those are payments due every 3 months.
Every 3 quarters?
Yes, sir, every quarter. Mm-hmm. The last payment was due September 1 of this year.
And you said it's a 10-year?
It's a 10-year agreement.
So it was 2006 when it started?
Yes, sir.
And we all, another $105,000 closes it out?
Correct. I don't know if you all heard Frank. He asked what we owed. We owe another $105 to complete the payments on that agreement.
And what percentage of the meters were non-functional?
I don't see Owen here. My understanding was somewhere in the next. Owen, question for you. The percentage of the meters that were non-functional from all the ones that we purchased from SunTrust, what percentage would you say? About 60% of those meters were non-functional, and for whatever reason, there was never a request of the vendor to either replace those meters or to use the warranty in order to get those meters fixed.
Is he saying 60 meters or 60%?
He's saying 60%. I said a significant amount.
Okay.
Didn't work out of the box.
How many meters did we
How many meters did prices go on? Wasn't that many.
Probably doesn't say in the loan.
I can tell you it wasn't that many. It wasn't enough that
warrants
$4 million.
How many meters were there?
That's what he's asking. I'd have to look. I don't know if it's actually in the agreement. This is just a loan agreement. I'm not sure. I doubt if it's in here as far as the equipment is concerned. I don't know. I can get that information from you.
inconceivable to me that the city could not go back and claim, or when it's still under warranty. I mean,
the chair has given me that little beauty. So if I get the contract, you can get me the okay. And that's the loan agreement.
That's all we have.
We don't have a contract?
That's all we have. Correct.
You don't have anything from the.
We've looked, and I guess because it's perhaps because it's so old, I don't know if what's happened to the document. But I even asked SunTrust if they perhaps had a copy, and they have nothing either.
Well, let me ask this in the process. I think we've been through this before, but it brings it to light again. In most municipalities, the city clerk has every single contract that is executed is with the clerk. In fact, the original is with the clerk. The rest of us all work off of copies or an electronic copy. But when two agreements are sent for all the parties to sign, if it's a two-party agreement, we sign them and they sign them, and then there's two originals. If one original comes back, that goes to the clerk. And then everybody else has a photocopy or you got an electronic copy and you can mark on it or whatever. But when you go back to find something, you go to the clerk of the court, clerk of records. It's the clerk. I mean, is that not that process here in Opa-locka where the clerk is the hub of all of these types of agreements and contracts and everything? I mean, a contract goes before the commission. The commission approves it. It gets executed. The clerk does that.
The commission would not get, or previously the commission would not see all agreements because of the purview of the manager. Having said that, though, the written procedure of the city is, yes, the clerk would get all of the original agreements and the rest of the city would operate off of copies. Doesn't always happen that way, obviously. No, you're right in that the way the city is supposed to function is the way that most municipalities do with respect to the procedure you just outlined. For whatever reason, that had not always been the case here.
Well, you as a manager with the clerk, has that been implemented now so that every one of these agreements with the clerk?
Yes. To answer your question, I don't know if anyone heard you, but the answer to what Frank asked was, since I've become the manager, have we implemented the actual following of the policy? And the answer is yes. The agreements that are signed, although there haven't been that many, the originals are with the clerk, yes. And they're also going before the commission.
Can you supply me who the contractor was? Do we even know who the contractor was that put in the meter?
I will do my best to find you that information.
Is that Opa-locka back?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am, we're here.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Right. Yeah, Madam City Manager.
Okay, so we've kind of talked just a little bit about the budget, so hopefully we don't need to talk about the budget anymore, but I'm sure if anyone has any questions, I'm open to respond. With respect to the five-year recovery plan, my thinking is that there will be something to present to the state, but in perfect candor, it will not. It will be a very, very, very rough draft in light of where we are in terms of financial information. But it will have at least a skeleton plan in terms of what we believe we would need to pay and the time frame in which we intend to pay it. So there will still be something that we're able to present, keeping in mind that it will be in very, very rough draft form. The revised cash flow projection.
When do you think that will be available?
No. What are we talking about, the revised cash flow?
No, the five-year recovery
plan. Oh, I'm anticipating having, I don't know, I have to get with David because it's some things that I want to talk to David about on the recovery plan. As soon as humanly possible, I'm hoping actually to, and I know I'm probably speaking way out of turn because David's looking at me with a smile, but I'm hoping to have at least, because we have something, a semblance of one, and I'm hoping that we would just build on what we have and actually add substantially more meat to it. But my plan is to have something at least to be reviewed by the time that we submit our budget. Okay.
As it relates to the budget, if it's true that you don't need a bridge loan until January, is the bridge loan not in the budget that we will be getting? We don't have an amount for that. We're leaving it without a bridge loan and therefore without the associated payments to repay the bridge loan. Is that accurate?
To me, a bridge loan is like a tax anticipation note or something like that. So you really wouldn't have it. The most you would have in the budget is whatever it costs to get that, because the money to repay it, the principal, comes from the taxes.
Okay.
So and
booking it in a different period of time.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And I've got to go over this with Frank because I think I heard him say something different than I've been thinking. So I really go over that with him. But if a bridge loan is not needed in the first quarter, it wouldn't be needed until sometime after January, February, because the last year, current fiscal year, 25% of the property taxes came in by the end of December. Then the bulk came in January, a little bit more in February, and then it pretty much dies off. So we probably are okay until something like March or April, depending on the exact cash flow. But the real issue I've got that I think I heard different from Frank is whether or not something is needed in that first quarter. That's what I really want to go over that with us.
So what I hear you saying is that we're going to be here in a year from now doing kind of the same thing with the budget?
I'm sorry, say again.
That we may be here a year from now without a bridge loan, doing this same budget exercise and dealing with some of the same budget challenges.
My understanding of state law pretty much is you cannot borrow for operating purposes for more than a 12-month period under certain conditions and whatever. And so to me, a bridge loan really doesn't solve
anything
except the issue.
Cash flow. That's it.
It lets you keep going for cash flow purposes, but it doesn't get rid of an ingrained problem.
You can make payroll. I mean, it'll help you during the fiscal year, but it's not going to solve any problems
right,
other than cash flow. keep the lights on, keep the payroll, keep the city staff working, then you got to pay it back. So it depends on how long you get it.
You know, a city, a government that essentially has a balanced budget, whatever, but has spent all their money and they're out of money by the beginning of October, they get a bridge loan to cover the 3 months that they don't have property tax. As soon as the property tax comes in, they can repay it because they've covered it. That's not the situation that I see here. The situation here is, even with everything the city is doing and whatever, there's money owed to people from this year and prior years. And I don't know the right word, but it doesn't seem to be a bridge loan that's needed to get out of that problem. The city manager has spoken about trying to do something with property to generate some extra cash that brings it out. So the two issues I see facing the city are, one, get a budget that you can live with, that you provide the services you have to provide, that's balanced, live within the means of that budget. And two, how do you address, that does not really address the shortfalls that have built up. So how do you build a program that addresses the shortfalls that have built up, spread over the time you need to do it? Given the numbers I've seen, there's no way to address all those shortfalls in the 16-17 fiscal year.
And if I can
be spread somehow. And it's got to be spread within state law that limits your ability to borrow for operating purposes.
If I can add a footnote, that's the essence of my next report, summarizing this and projecting out, because you're not going to resolve the fundamental financial challenges the city faces, whether it's deficits in the general fund or where it is. This is a lean budget. The only reason you get a bridge loan, to repeat myself, is to make payroll or make some financial obligation during the fiscal year, but then you've got to pay it back. So you start out the next year with the same kind of financial liabilities. You're starting, with the exception of a few, there's a few that are being paid this in the next fiscal year, and that will reduce that nut. But it's a pretty sizable nut, and I'll have more to say on that next week.
I mean, what I get every month is what's needed to keep the lights on. That's what I get, to keep the wolf away from the door. And then, but I mean, like today, here's another $105,000 that hasn't even been addressed, that the SunTrust is saying, hey, where's my money? So those people are all out there all over that are owed sizable amounts of money. And even if we get the projects with the Cairo Lane, which looks like I see a light at the end of the tunnel that hopefully is not a train, and then we've got the project at refurbing old City Hall, is that where's the front-end cash flow come from to get that program going, to get the reimbursements? I mean, there's got to be a pot somewhere. And if that pot is not in the budget, if somebody hadn't said, hey, I need $200,000 sitting in this line item for this project here so we get that going. If that's not in the budget, it's like we're spinning our wheels in the mud. The engine keeps running, but we're not going anywhere. And we will be here next year doing the same thing. Yeah, Barrett is exactly right.
Just so we're clear, there actually is a line item in the budget for the capital improvement, as we discussed before, at least initially. Not sure if those monies will be needed, of course, for operational expenses at any point, but it has definitely been something that we discussed and that's been incorporated into the budget itself.
Let me interrupt you just a minute.
Yes,
Commissioner Kelly, did you want to make a comment? Okay. Commissioner Santiago? Yes, sir. Okay.
Thank you again to the state board. This is the best thing can happen here in the great city of Opa-locka. And let me say my name is Commissioner Luis B. Santiago, 1156 Perry Street, and I'm a resident of the great city of Opa-locka. I live here, and I know how everything is feel when you live in the city. Let me start with this. It's so many things that we'll be talking today. Somebody before mentioning something about 4 years ago or how the thing started. When the manager before came to us and made a recommendation and let it know us about what can happen in the future today or are we living right now, yes, we put attention. But always you need three to say yes and three to say no. Okay, and when that fail, it doesn't mean that everybody take the same decision, because many of us, we know there is something be wrong in the administration before. What will be touched, okay, in sewer today? I heard about the meters. Let me say this. Two items that I want to bring into your memory, because let's come in with transparency and telling the truth to the people, to the state, and to the government. We be doing, when I say we, because I include myself, because I'm part of the government and I'm responsible. But before that I came here, these meters be purchases for somebody. I heard today five different companies that they get involved in this. But what I heard before is when they purchased these meters, they supposed to be brand new meters when warranty. We found out that they not true. Somebody do the purchase and they do the purchase when obsolete, like old or meters that they refusing to install in somewhere else and they bring it to Opa-locka. You think that's fair? That's the reason now why they don't work when we have 60% of that meter that they broke. What is the companies in charge for the warranty for that meter? Why we have to pay again for that? Why? And I'm talking about something that be done 4 or 5 years before that I came here. Okay? That's the number that we had to put back, 7 or 8 years back. We have commissioner that they're not here right now, that they out, that they're responsible to for whatever happened, for the decision that they take wrong. That's one of the points. The only way that we're going to be out of that situation, like the way that I said before, if we are starting to do the right thing, starting from zero and starting to do the right thing, how can we not going to have the same situation by the next year budget in 2018? I believe in Frank, you, and everybody say we're going to have the same problem because we spend too much money. 4.5 square mile city. Let me put it that way. I have 5 children, 3 girls and 2 boys. I can't have no more. You know why? Because I don't make enough money to support them. And we have too many children here in the city. And when I'm talking about too many children, our payroll is $1 million every month. I think something is wrong. We cannot handle it, afford $1 million in a payroll every month because we don't get that kind of money no more from the taxes that we get for the ad valorem money. Property, they go down. And when property go down, what happened? Taxes reduce. And we don't thinking about that 4 years ago or 6 years ago to reduce the personnel that we have. We be handling 240 employment before, and we be reducing it. And manager before, that's what they're talking about. We had too many people in the payroll. Where is the people come from? The city have to work with whatever we have. And if we reduce the expenses, you're going to see by the next year, we're not going to have that problem. We're not going to have that problem. If we only have $5, when that $5 we have to take care of whatever we have to take care. We can't afford it. 20 people with $5. We can't. Money is the issue. Money is not free. And the city is like any business. Okay? We have to produce revenue, money to come in to support or to keep the people that we have here work. Reducing, it has to come from everywhere. From everywhere. I cannot understand how can we have some people here that have more preference to other ones. I only have one office, 780 fishermen, fourth floor. How can others have two offices? How? That's what we have to think. The car comes for everywhere. Mm-hmm. If everybody return, wherever we return, everybody has to return wherever they have, that they belong to the citizens. It has to be fair. If we want to get out of this situation, we have to think intelligent and see where is the money coming from and how we're going to do it. We can redo everything to half, and we're going to have money to resolve anything that we have to resolve. Pay people that they already do the job, and they crying today, like Frank, I believe, say before, that they going to be out of business because they're very small people, and they need to get paid. Let's cut it out, everything. The budget, the only way that we're going to balance, if we balance also the people that we have here working and make too much money. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You done?
Yes, ma'am. Okay, where are we? Projected 16-17 salary information, that actually is included in your budget. But I'm looking for the actual, it's in there. It's in there. We have to shore some things up with David, but with respect to next year, we're looking at if we resume 40 hours a week, and again, I believe these numbers may be somewhat off. We're trying to confirm some numbers, but based on what we currently have, if we're looking at 40 hours a week, the salary for the 16-17 year, the salaries total $12,491,596 for 32, the total expense? Operating costs. Okay. I'm sorry. Charmaine is telling me that the proposed expense with respect to salary would actually be closer to $10 million. And that's for 40 hours. And if we maintain the 32 hours, it'll be to the tune of 9.5 million. Again, a $500,000 difference for the year between 40 and 32 hours.
How can that be? I'm sorry, the math doesn't seem to work. I know not everybody is going to be 32, but that means that only, I mean, 500, that's 5%, and if you cut somebody's working hour by 8 out of 40, that's 20%. So is it so few people are going to be cut back, or how does it work?
Well, again, as I said before, I gave the numbers. We're working on confirming those numbers, but those are the numbers that we had been working with. Also, keep in mind that the police that fall under the PBA were not affected by the 32 hours, and so the numbers that I gave you or the numbers that we're currently working with don't actually involve the police having 32 hours. Only, I believe, admin or managerial staff in the police department has 32 hours. And also our park staff does not have 32 hours, and then there has been a restoration to 40 hours of various individuals in the city to allow them to be able to meet the needs of all of the current obligations from the city, state, and county level. Again, I will confirm those numbers. David and I actually had a conversation during one of the breaks about the confirmation of those numbers. So it very well could be off, and to the extent that there needs to be a revision to those numbers, I will provide it at the next meeting. List of projected revenues by fund. I believe you have a revenue summary.
Yes.
And that actually, I believe, is the most updated summary that we have. And so that information has already been provided to you. Department proposed budgets. Again, I believe the budget that was distributed to the board a few weeks ago, that budget has since been revised. They're closer now. I believe Charmaine gave me like 90-something percent in terms of being able to present a balanced budget. And the plan, of course, is between the brain trust of Charmaine and David, by the time that we get to our meeting on the 27th, we will have a balanced budget. Provide a plan for repayment. There hasn't been any use of the general fund reserve or the water and sewer reserve or the water and sewer operating, and so the plan for repayment is not quite at issue. Review Miami-Dade County cash flow analysis. This is the analysis that I believe was brought to our attention last meeting that that the city didn't have a copy of. At the time that it was actually reviewed, it was stale. And so I believe the information there as a result was stale. And so I've reviewed the analysis. We understood the numbers. Of course, they've changed since then, but it did serve as a guideline for where we were, and it helped finance, county, and David to have a basis in terms of developing the budget and the revenue and expenditure summaries. Provide information requested by FEMA. The information that there has been information sent by FEMA, I believe it's been uploaded to Google Docs. I will confirm that. What I understand, FEMA asked for a certain amount of information. We provided that, and they've since asked for additional information, which we are gathering now. And so I will make sure that there is a folder in Google Docs so you all can review the information that's been provided to FEMA. Provide information requested by Miami-Dade County CITT. Let me have Charmaine respond to that.
We've provided CITT with a number of items that they requested. The one that is the one that's outstanding is the financial statement, but as soon as we have the unaudited one, we will be forwarding that to them as well. So right now they have received everything that they needed. We are also working, but finance is also working with Ms. Jackson and her staff by providing her additional information that was recently requested.
Information regarding the interest rates and the late fees. Well, I have good news and bad. The good news is we don't have interest rates on our credit cards. The bad news is that we are accruing a $29 a month late fee per credit card. And so what we're doing is we are gathering, well, there are two things that have happened just in case I need to refresh the memory of the board. All of the credit cards actually have been gathered and are no longer in use. And we are now going to, we've asked the bank to provide us with the most recent amounts that are due. The amount that they gave us today was an error, and so we've asked them again to provide, to do another, give us another report so that we can provide to the contract review committee the exact amount, and we can take care of the credit card payment and or allow for review and determine whether or not that's prudent to do so. The key card information was spoken about by Ms. Nelson. I don't know what the priority list of operational items to merit means.
Yeah, that was the initial conversation about items, identifying items, working with Merit and David on the areas to reduce and to carve out some cost savings.
Okay.
So I think we've talked about that enough, so we'll skip over that one.
Okay. The whistleblower policy. That policy has been drafted. It will be presented to the commission, this next commission meeting on the 28th, for their review and approval. Vincent? Yes? Yes, okay, just wanted to make sure I was right. The HCT resignation, I think we've spoken about that, and as well as what we plan to do to address not having a current audit firm. Compare the impact of renegotiation of salary to step up. Okay, Chief, I don't know what that is. Compare the impact of renegotiation of salaries of step-up employees covered by the labor contract.
I'm not sure what that is either. Maybe it's what the Chief spoke of earlier relating to the demotions and how that reverses itself.
Okay, I don't, Ms. McGill.
Potentially. I know we had a pending item that maybe Vince can talk about coming up on the negotiations on the labor agreements. The labor union agreements have not been renegotiated or re-upped, so to speak, since 2010, if that's correct. And
yes,
so I think it's intended to touch on what is the status of those renegotiations on the labor agreements with TVA and AFSCME.
As it relates to AFSCME, I've reached out to their attorney on three occasions. He responded. As to police, we met with them maybe 2.5 weeks ago. We had initial discussions. We could not get any further into the discussions with regards to the contract itself because it was not properly noticed. So we are in the process of moving at least the police contract forward. As to ask me, they've not responded to emails from me.
Okay. Thank you for the update.
Lastly, review of lien settlements. I have a couple of updates, and perhaps it's not an update to everyone. The liens as far as the Cuyahoga property were placed well over a year. They've been placed for a very long time. So they're, go ahead.
To be clear, the Cuyahoga situation resulted from a settlement agreement where the settlement agreement allowed for a per diem of $250 per day. Every day that the remediation did not take place. So that is a recorded judgment that came from a consent agreement between the city and then Cuyahoga. We're now in the discovery process because a lawsuit was filed to foreclose the liens. The judge ordered discovery. We've given them the discovery that they requested. I've reached out to their attorney because there was at some point an interest in settling the liens, but we've not heard back from them after they've gotten a discovery. One of the things the judge made very clear, she said, look, $1.7 million on a municipal lien, good luck. So what that means is, you know, you either gonna get a property as a brownsfield that's gonna cost you more to clean up than what it's really worth, or you try to resolve the lien issue. Although it may be a valuable piece of land cleaned and rid of the brownfield that it is, but until then, you know, it's just a piece of property with a huge municipal lien on it that to a purchaser, you know, how much is it going to cost to clean that property and to get the contamination off the property. So it's not a pristine piece of land like most people think it is. And so we are going to work with the attorneys for Miller Legg to remedy that situation and try to get some monies into the city by compromising the lien.
Can I ask? What is the property appraiser have the land valued at?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Well, I mean.
I mean, you're asking me what is the property appraiser value off the top of my head, I don't know.
I mean, it may be at 80% or whatever, but it at least give you an idea of what.
Even if, let me give you the benefit of the process. We request to move the case forward on an expedited basis. The judge is going to say, I want y'all to go to mediation and mediate this. She may say, okay, let's reopen this and litigate the nature of these liens and whether these liens are of the character and nature that supports a $1.7 million lien. Then we run into a whole lot of other issues that I don't frankly know whether we can support. Okay, because when we look at a lot of our lien files, they're deficient and wanting. And I hate to put that on the record, but, you know, when you ask the question, I'll give you the answer.
Right,
and so, I'll
wait. Maybe we can talk.
Well, we can do that.
Yeah, I like that.
I think I have a couple of more items.
Yeah.
I already got the mic, so I'm not going to drop it, but I'm going to finish where I started.
Sure.
I'm still waiting on a complete list of vendors. I just heard about SunTrust. So if I get the SunTrust file, I'll begin negotiating with SunTrust on what we owe them. But there were three cases that are pending. Ferguson versus the City of Opa-locka, Ferguson Water Works versus Opa-locka. I sent you a detailed email this morning. But Ferguson was claiming someone in the neighborhood of $65,000 in damages, and they wanted immediate payment. I was able to get them down to $42,000 and payment January 31st, 2017. Central Florida was asking for roughly $89,000 in payment in 30 days. I've gotten them down to $78,000, and I'm still trying to push them to sometime in January and get them down even further than $78,000. And then the Grace Academy, which is a tenant in the building that first sued us, and then we filed a counterclaim against them for breach of their lease and non-payment of rent. We have sitting in a drawer $65,000 in cashier's checks. They will have to bring in another $2,500 to meet our demand to settle, which will have to come to the commission and then back to you all. But we... And a part of the negotiation that they will allow them to stay in the building until the end of the school year 2016-2017. They have to move out within 2 weeks after that. They will pay us $13,750 a month for rent. I think it's a pretty good deal for the city because you'd have a space sitting there vacant, unused, and this way you're at least bringing some money into the city where you'd probably have none at all. And last but not least, we've all talked about the negotiation of the labor contracts. I think that's it for me.
Thank
unless there's anything else.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Did we cover everything on your agenda?
I'm sorry, Melinda, it's Patty. Can I ask Vince a question about the labor contract?
Sure, go ahead.
I'm just curious as to, you know, the labor contracts represent, I don't know, Frank, you used to say, 80% of the salary costs are due to the labor contracts. I feel some urgency with regard to those contracts, and I just don't feel that coming back at me through the phone. So I'm wondering if you have a plan of action to maybe speed up negotiations with or whatever the next steps are, whether it's PERC. Whatever the next steps are with regard to the labor contracts, is there something we can do to speed it up a little bit?
The strategy for AFSCME is PERC. The strategy for police is to convene a meeting within the next week or so to begin to restructure their agreement. They already know we're coming back at them. As the police chief has already told you, we've already began the preliminary process of making adjustments to the rank and to the management and the rank and file of the police department and reducing its cost by 5% wherever we can. But PERC is going to be absolutely the next step for AFSCME because they're not responding at all.
And what is that step at PERC? What do you do at PERC? What do you file?
We file a petition in PERC because we're at an impasse. We are
right.
at an impasse.
Can it be expedited because of the emergency situation?
Under 447, yes, it can.
Okay. How fast does that go?
Once we file it, then we ask for a – let me explain to you how the process works with PERC. We'll file. They'll appoint a mediator. Okay, once the mediator is appointed, then we'll sit down and we'll negotiate the terms and conditions of this – what this agreement is supposed to look like under 218. And then once we get there, then the mediator will come back with an agreement or with a recommendation. That recommendation then has to come back to the city commission. So, you know, we go to PERC, and the protection that PERC provides is we will not get hit with an unfair labor practice action by the union. And so the whole PERC process is to provide cover to the governmental agency from unfair labor practice actions by the unions or by the employees of the union. That's the real purpose of going through PERC in this process.
Well, that's what I thought, but you said, does them failing to communicate with you, is that defined as an impasse?
Well, if they don't come to the table and they don't communicate with us, you can define an impasse many different ways. But if they never come to the table, then we have to take steps to get them to the table, and the only way to get them to the table is through PERC. So we're at an impasse if they're not responding to us. That's an impasse. The fact that we don't sit down across from the table with each other and negotiate and then say, okay, we're at an impasse, that's one way to get to an impasse. Another way is by having no response whatsoever.
All right. Well, I mean, to the extent that that can be expedited, I mean, I don't want to speak for the board, but I know that that seems like something that I know Frank has indicated is extremely important to this recovery process, and it just seems like it's languishing. So I just wanted to check on that. That's all, Melinda.
Thank you.
Madam City Manager?
There was only one other thing I wanted to discuss. I was asked about the status of liens. Again, I have one of the members of the staff who has 1,001 other responsibilities, but she's working on liens, and she identified 12 different accounts that she will be processing liens on to begin with. And just so the board is aware, previously I'd identified 10,000 individuals or entities that owe 10,000 and more. Now I've actually changed that because I need to make sure that the city is protected. And so the requirement as far as liens is concerned is any entity or individual that's owed the city money more than 6 months. So that actually encompasses individuals owing $1,500 as well as individuals owing $100,000 plus. I'm thinking with that time frame, I'll be able to capture more. And of course, just so we're all for the benefit of the public, liens are not actually placed on property so that you can take the property or so that you can cause unnecessary encumbrances. What a lien typically does is brings the person into the municipality or what have you to negotiate or pay off whatever is owed to the city. And I believe that is the end of my report, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Yvette. Frank?
You know, there are agencies that will gladly take those liens and do the hunt for you and take a piece of the action. I mean, some of the stuff, you are understaffed. And there's no doubt about it. And there's people that's what they do. And they supply attorneys on your behalf, and they go after whatever they get, and they get a piece. So that's something to think about. The other thing is that I heard the city attorney, at least it sounded to me, and I don't want to negotiate in the public either, but it sounded like he said trying to get like a 5% cut wherever we can or something like that. That's not what you said? Okay. I got you. All right, listen. That's where the money's at that's flowing out of here, payroll. It's either lay people off or cut the pay. I mean, there's no other way you're going to bring this under control. That's it. Pretty simple. Can't afford it. People got to go. Things have got to be shut down. You have to decide what are the minimum levels of service that this city is going to provide within the budget that we have, because we're going to be right back with what Merritt is saying. You're going to be here next year doing the exact same thing, because you're just making enough to pay to keep the lights on, and then you're going to be back again, and your revenues are not bringing you into a position to where you can grow or whether you can get out of this hole. So if the objective of the city is just to try to keep paying payroll and this type of thing, you're providing those services. At some point, you have to you have to come to the realization that you have. You know, my daddy used to tell me that when the mission of the dinosaurs became survival, they were already doomed. And that's where we are. We're trying to save this entity and get a few months so we can get out of the hole, and we're not coming up with any plan to get out of the hole. I mean, it is dire. So even with the things that we're talking about, and you're going to get some money at the beginning in October, and you're going to get some money in January, it's not going to solve the problem. So there's got to be some real thinking about how services are delivered in this community, whether they go to the county, whether they privatize them, whether they, you know, just telling you. It's we've said it here a dozen different ways sitting in here for several months now, and I'm not convinced that it sinks in, that people think it's like there's some hidden thing here that's going to pop out and save somebody. What's happened is you've just run this thing into the ground, and yeah, you're going to make a payroll. We're going to make the next payroll because we're probably just going to make it with whatever revenues we get, and then we're going to be facing another payroll in 2 weeks. It's brutal. And that's why you see employees now that are starting to see the light. They're looking for jobs other places. They're leaving. The police are leaving because they got a ticket that they can sell somewhere. But what does a clerk do? What does a solid waste worker do? What does those people do that depend on this for their livelihood and supporting their families? They depend on this city, these commissioners and this administration to do what has to be done to salvage this. And some of these things that we take and go before the commission are just buying time. So, when you sit down and negotiate with the employees, the question's got to be, you want to make 50 cents on the dollar and have a job? And walk away and have nothing. That's what you're going to be looking at. That's what happened to us in the city of Miami, right, Merritt? I mean, there were drastic cuts that had to be made. And when the city got well, the city made it up to the employees. There's nobody in management that wants to take stuff away from the employees. That's not what we want to do. We want to. Our employees are the most valuable thing we have. We deliver services to the community. But we got to be able to survive and to be able to pay them. And that's where the bulk of your money goes, is salaries and fringe benefits. That's what it is. That's what we do, is services. We have people. Yeah. It's not good, gang.
Jack
Uplifting
Heakin.
Talk.
Yes.
All right, I believe that you've got your final on the agenda for the state and local agreement.
Yeah, we already touched upon the deadlines briefly before when we were speaking about the budget. Obviously, extenuating circumstances, we're not getting it until next week, but August 1st was the deadline for that. Beginning August 1st as well, the city was required to provide monthly revenue and expenditure reports to the governor, so that's an ongoing monthly requirement, as well as the five-year financial recovery plan is due coming up. Wanted to draw the attention as well to the next upcoming deadline would be December 8th, which is when financial integrity ordinance has to be reviewed and adopted by the city. I know that the city had previously adopted a financial integrity ordinance during the last financial emergency, so it would probably be prudent for a review of that existing ordinance to determine if changes need to be made, and then come with that proposal and decide prior to the December 8th deadline for that. But I did want to draw attention to those deadlines in the cooperation agreement. They're certainly... there are always reasons why a deadline is going to be difficult to meet, but those are very important for us to meet going forward because those are the first steps that we have towards this financial recovery.
Any questions? Vince Brown just shared that the financial integrity ordinance that passed back when the last financial emergency review board was in place or committee, and he said that that might be the, that it's still in force and still on the books, so that that might be the starting point for a review. We could take that on as a committee and provide recommendations to the commission, where we can ask someone from staff to come up with some recommendations to us, and we could support you in that endeavor. Is there any thought about how to do that?
Jack said we're not due to do it until December 8th, right?
Correct.
So we can discuss it at the next meeting.
I don't think
it's urgent that we have a decision today.
Okay. Policies and procedures, tab number 13, where it talks about identify and assign other tasks. Heather, if you'll remind me to follow up on policies and procedures, include the financial integrity ordinance for the next meeting for discussion. I'd like to see if maybe Patty, if you could help with identification of some audit committee policies and procedures and or another financial integrity ordinance, maybe from another municipality. Maybe we could come forward with some ideas from some other jurisdictions, see if we could do some sort of comparison there. We'll take that up at the next meeting, but the policies and procedures for audit committees, it's something I'd like to try to find some best practices so that I can give that to the mayor and the commission. And then the financial integrity ordinance, we'll put that up for the next agenda. So we have Opelika City Commissioner comments and then public comment, but before we invite the members of the commission to comment, I'm curious, want to make sure that we start thinking about our next meeting date. And the next meeting date, I know maybe David, you had some suggestions related to the budget that we might need to meet sooner rather than later to review that initial budget.
No, I have a comment too.
Okay, and Merritt has a comment.
On that, the City Commission is meeting Tuesday the 27th to adopt their budget. If the committee wanted to meet after that, before October 1st, to do whatever approvals you need so the city can keep spending, I would suggest, and you need a week to advertise, you know, that's like a week from today or a week from tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
To our vote. It was a real easy window.
Okay. So we can we meet on the 29th? Is that the recommended date?
Could be by telephone.
Okay.
The
29th sounds good to me.
I'm available on the 29th.
Bye.
Hang on just a second.
Those days are not good for me. I'm at the tail end of our budget process, and we have our meeting on the 28th, and I'm anticipating that there will be some changes from the commission that will require us to come back on the 29th or 30th to reset that, and I don't know what day they'll pick. I mean, this is crunch time for all of us in the municipal government.
Sure. How soon do you think you might know which day they're going to pick?
On the 28th.
Okay. Jack, emergency
I don't know if it constitutes an emergency.
I'll make it if okay. I can make it on the 29th or the 30th.
Okay. The other members of the board in Tallahassee, Christian and Andrew and company, Kim, what does the 29th look like for you guys?
This is Christian. I'm available for both 29th and 30th.
This is Kim. I'm available on the 29th, but not the 30th.
Okay. Christian, I had trouble understanding you. Can you say that again?
Sure. I said I'm available both days.
Okay. All right.
This is Bernita. I'm available for the morning part of the 29th and not on the 30th.
Okay. Let's set it for the morning of the 29th to review the budget. If we did 9 o'clock, or we could do it by phone, maybe a couple of hours to go through it. Okay. All right. So, Heather, if you'll get with... Okay. Frank's good on the morning of the 29th. So, 9 o'clock okay with you? Okay. Early? Good. Okay. Heather, if you'll get with Joanne about posting our next meeting, and I believe the only agenda item for this should be the budget, but...
Okay.
I think that we can do a couple of hours to review the budget based upon the vote that happens by the City Commission. And then that way we're able to at least begin our review and okay. Yes, Merritt, you have a comment?
Just a brief thing. I meant to mention before that, you know, I have not spent time on the police department. Deference to the distinguished career of J.D. Patterson, who spent a lifetime in that business. I think we're all relying on his judgment, and so I just want you to know, Madam Chair, that's not one of my goals. I will get with Parks. If there's anything else, things that you need me to look at, I will be happy to do that.
Okay. Thank you. I apologize. Yvette, I didn't even think about that piece of it.
We were wondering whether or not we actually had to attend. No.
Nate?
Yes, we're available, and so is the chamber. So we're good on that.
Forgive my oversight. All right. Okay. Madam Mayor, members of the commission, is there an opportunity for, and this is your chance, if I know we've talked along the way, but... Madam Mayor, good afternoon.
Again, for helping us get back onto the on the right financial track, even though when we hear Mr. Merrick Sterheim's report, we hear doom and gloom. When we hear Frank, at one point he's okay, and the second point we hear doom and gloom from him. But one of the things, and I do thank you again, Madam Chair, for making the trek down from Tallahassee. One of the things that I heard Mr. Rollison say was that we need to cut back on this and cut back on that. The commission is not holding the manager from doing what she has to do, but it might be my misunderstanding that you all have held her from making the cutbacks that she needs to make. She knows the city. She knows what we need. She knows what has to be done. But you say it has to be done, but then we're not allowing her to do it. So perhaps, as I said, it might be a misunderstanding on our part, but the commission is not holding the manager from doing what she has to do as far as the cutbacks and bringing the budget into compliance and perhaps getting not so much, I didn't want to say getting rid of, but suspending services that we don't need at this time. We're not holding her from doing that. Somebody is. So I'm asking, if you are, release her. Let her do what she has to do in order to bring, we're all supposed to be working together, so release her and let her do. She knows what the city needs. She knows where we can hold or suspend at the time. So that's all I'm saying. It's not the commission. So it has to be you all.
Right. I'm not aware of us holding her from doing her job. I'm only aware of us trying to support her in doing her job, but if you could provide specifics, I'd be happy to research those specifics, because
okay.
I truly am not aware of our directing her to do or not to do. I remind you that I would ask the same from you.
Yes.
Relative to a particular contract, I think that there is a time and place to take the city manager's recommendation, and I think we have discussed that further and enough today, but I think that it goes both ways.
Yes, that's fine. We have no problems with that.
I'd like to comment. I'm sorry. I don't know whether you were watching this morning's session, but I made a rather impassioned statement because I was concerned that the gravity of the financial affairs of the city was not fully understood or appreciated, that there is no free money unless you have a printing press or something else. There's no way that we can do this, and I'm not being sarcastic, and don't kill the messenger. Because if there's something I said that isn't correct, tell me what it is, but don't kill the messenger.
Wait, I'm not killing the messenger. I read your report. I understand where you're coming from, and certainly the commission is willing to do whatever that we can do.
The commission can do whatever it wants. Mm-hmm. I'm not impinging on the commission's prerogatives. I'm only telling you what I see this.
We understand that. And some of the things that you have stated in your report, we see it ourselves. And we can work with our manager to get it done. That's all we're saying. But if there are cutbacks, and I was keying in, not so much on Mr. Merrick, but on Mr. Rollison, if there are cutbacks that you see that can be done, of course it's done by the manager.
That's
she manages the city.
Right.
And so I'm saying if that's cutbacks that she needs to be done, the commission is not holding her from doing it. I want you to understand that.
Well,
we want to balance that budget. We want to get it down to where we can live with it also.
Well, Madam Mayor, you're right. Listen.
Okay.
Look.
All right.
We're not.
Wait a minute.
If you're under that impression that we're.
Yes, you were saying.
Ma'am.
Yes.
We're talking.
Okay, but I'm getting this,
we're talking
you know,
to you.
This
I know.
Heckling
I'm just saying,
from the left side.
If you're under the impression that the board is somehow hamstringing the manager, on the financial issues, there's no doubt that it has to come before us. But as we discussed at the last meeting, positions can be eliminated by the manager. It has nothing to do with the contract. You can eliminate positions. That falls with the manager.
Thank you.
To eliminate positions if they say, look, now, who you have to keep and who you let go is going to be governed by your contracts. And that's why it's so important that those contracts be addressed so that the manager has more latitude in what she is able to do.
Well, that's why I said in the beginning, it might have been a misunderstanding on my part as chair of the commission. So if that is so, then I do apologize for that.
No, you don't have to apologize. Come on.
Okay.
If you have an impression, though, that there's something that we are doing to impede Yvette's ability to make surgical cuts in the budget, then I want to know precisely what those are. And I invite you to let me know so that we can look into that. If that's truly your perception, because I don't see it, but I'm open-minded to what you're saying. So I want to make sure that we address your specific concerns. If you'll just let me know what those are.
All right, and thank you all again.
Thank you, ma'am. Commissioner Santiago?
Thank you again for the support and the good advices that you giving to the city to try to fix whatever problems we have right now. But let me ask you, this is like a request that I'm going to do to the board. I'm not here to kill no messaging. I'm here to listen because my father teach me that before that I open my mouth, have my two ears attending for whatever people talk. But I like to say this. First, I used to have a mother. She's already gone, and I used to respect my mother so well that God blessed me for that. And what I say that is because there's so many ladies here, so many women that deserve respect. The board meeting for the stay is here and right now. And I believe you have the authority to tell residents to have a little respect when any of the elected officials are standing here. No matter what is the problem with them, but this is something that has to be stopped and let, you know, people respect themselves. The same way that we do, that we let people come into the podium and talk, the elected official has the right so to come and express what they feel. I believe that we have only one lady in the committee here for the commissioner, the mayor. She's a mother, she's a lady, and I believe she deserves respect for the public and for the residents of the great city of Opa-locka. That's one point. Just put order, and we need order. That's one of the part of the city that one day I'm going to show you. Now, let's fix the budget. And the only way that we're going to fix it, you said it too, if we can't spend $10 because we don't make $10 and we only make $6, let's work with the $6. Very simple, numbers, they numbers. Okay? I can't go and spend $20 when I only make $5. And that's the situation that we have. If we don't want the same problem next year, let's start it now to cut everything that we have and work with whatever we have. Thank you.
Mr. Kelly? Yes, I will. Definitely. Thank you. Appreciate it. Mr. Kelly?
I was contemplating not speaking. I've been here all day just like you all have, and I want to thank you all for being here. I could change the tenor and the tone. I want to go back to a couple of things that were said regarding parks and rec and sports programming activity for young people. I think there's a misconception about our providing services, and I heard the manager mention about a resolution, but we'll deal with that internally. But I would like this board to consider, if it's not already part of a process, we tend to have emergency things that come up that, of course, because have a fiscal impact, the board has to approve. Now, I'm not sure. I think it may be already in place, and if it is, that's good, where the chair or vice chair can kind of do something. One of the challenges I faced in the last couple of months, speaking to the managers, we have issues or items that are of emergency nature. We had one with lights being out on Opa-locka Boulevard and those kind of things. Mm-hmm. But I would hope that we make sure that some kind of way those things that affect our residents' health and safety get addressed, or don't get put on the back burner, because sometimes there's a perception that it could be held up. And so we need to make sure we address that. So I hope the board would consider that as part of what you're doing. And I'll leave it at that. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you. Before we go on to the next, I covered all the commissioners? Okay, I think I have. Yvette, I wanted to revisit an item and give you a chance to maybe reflect on the record too. Is there anything in particular that this board is impeding you from as it relates to making stops? And if so, what are those items? And maybe we can clear that up before we adjourn today.
Yes, ma'am. I know that previously we had spoken about personnel changes and personnel cuts, and the directive was that Merritt and I were to get together to discuss whatever those cuts would be. Not only from a fiscal standpoint, but just from an operational standpoint as well. In perfect candor, I think because there's been just a lot of other things that were at issue, Merritt and I have not met. And so I know that I've previously made statements indicating that I needed the blessing, for lack of better words, of Merritt in order to present certain cuts and revisions, I think, to the personnel. So that has not taken place yet. So perhaps that's where the misunderstanding came from. It's not that the board has said that you can't make cuts. It's just that I believe in an interest or in an abundance of caution, whatever decisions I make, we want to make sure that they gel, if you will, with the understanding of the board and with the understanding of what's best for the city.
I see.
So I believe that's what the mayor was referring to.
Okay.
And she's shaking her head yes.
Okay. So it's my understanding that Francis Coyle and Patty Nelson and Vernita and others have been working on reducing the size of the 2016-2017 budget. Is
yes.
that correct?
Yes, ma'am. They have.
So those cuts are coming for next year's budget through a collaborative process. Is that correct?
Yes. Although the budget as it currently stands assumes the current level of staffing with the exception of maybe three or four individuals.
So the 2016-2017 budget assumes the current staffing levels?
Yes,
what you said? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
So to make adjustments to potentially those staffing levels, there needs to be some sort of additional review.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. We can make that happen, right?
Okay.
And we can address that.
Yeah, that's normally customary throughout the budgetary process where a manager wants to make certain recommendations, and they do. And if there's a board involved like us, you just make the conversation happen, and it goes forward. It's not unusual.
In those discussions, it's my understanding that you tasked each of your department heads also to go back and do a 15% budget reduction.
Actually,
is that the right number?
Actually, I'd asked for 25%.
Yeah, for 25%.
And okay. A lot of them came very close to that.
Okay. So the cuts that we are entertaining in the 2016-2017 budget are part of those department head recommendations based on your directive of doing a 25% cut initially?
Yes. The cuts that we're currently entertaining have been incorporated into the budget. There's also a very real possibility of additional cuts. So, yes.
Okay. So it's the additional cuts piece that needs to be
reviewed.
We need additional attention to that. And we can help with some additional review of that.
Okay.
So.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there a comment from you? You want to? Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Let me just ask. I'm sorry. What did you say? You said enough.
Well, I just.
Madam Mayor, did you hear that? he said enough. Sir? Yes, sir. Vice Chair?
I just wanted to add and actually emphasize how important it is for the manager to feel empowered because every manager I've worked with and for over the years has felt that way. And it's absolutely essential to her and her staff to get their jobs done. So I'm saying that because there needs to be a cultural change. I think Merritt mentioned this in his report as well. Because the bottom line is if there is no cultural change, you're going to keep doing what has always been done. And I think the term that Frank uses, spinning your wheels in the mud. But the other side of it is there are some things that I can see very clearly, and one of them has been mentioned already and talked about today. And that's when you purchased meters 10 years ago and spent $4.5 or $4.05 million, and the fact is today you're feeling the impact of that. So there needs to be a paradigm shift. So if something like that ever comes to this city just doesn't take it, doesn't accept it, doesn't allow it to go forward and become a nightmare 10 years later. And the only way that happens is when an empowered manager or leader makes it known to the commission and the commission acts in support of the manager. That's got to happen on almost every issue because if you don't do that, your manager is going to, not only your manager, but your city is going to fail. So the key is we're not in any way impeding and not here to impede your manager, no matter what is implied or thought of or even talked about. We're here to support this city and to do our best as professional people and experienced people to help you through this crisis. Now, if we give you advice and give you recommendations, they're not to be treated as if they're political footballs. They're here for the purpose of being powerful enough to try and get us beyond this this mess we're in. That's all I'm
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair.
Okay. Now we're at the point of public comment. And just to touch on something that Commissioner Santiago said, I really, really want, if you have an observation, you're invited to speak. If you could speak with civility and respect for, you don't have to respect the person, but you do have to respect the position. I invite comment, constructive comment. Hopefully your comments will also include solutions and recommendations, not just your condition that you want to report. But I do believe that you are to whom we report. You are the folks that elect these commissioners in your city. You have a voice. Your voice is at the poll, and we also provide you a voice at the microphone in our meeting. I mean, it's fundamental to our country, our nation, but I ask just that you respect the positions of the folks and have a level of civility for the folks in this room and for each other. And so with that, I'd like to invite public comment. Looks like, Mr. Burke, you wanted to comment first. So state your name again for the record.
Yes, ma'am, Alvin Burke. The reason our city is in this position is because in the past, the commission, the mayor commission, has had no respect for the city manager. The commission, the mayor and the commission wants to run the city and do the day-to-day operation as well. Now, yes, with all due respect, I would love to respect who I elected, but when I see what has happened to my city, when I see what has happened to my city, what has happened to some of the workers that are no longer working, that are worried about losing their houses now, losing their cars because of the malfeasance that was in this city. And 4 years ago, Mr. Harvey told us that this was coming. But you think it had an effect? No. No. For the 89th year, wasn't even the 90th. The city was turning 89, wasn't even the 90th. They want a birthday party. A birthday party. Knowing we was going broke. This is the leadership we're talking about respecting. Knowing that we were going broke, they go out and they have a birthday party. Now they got some money, some money's donated, but we don't know what happened to the donated money because all the money came out of the city's coffers. And this is the things that we're talking about. The city manager has no power in this city. And until y'all take out, and y'all know who it is, y'all take out what's hurting this city is going to continue to hurt. Because they don't see y'all are here to help. They're not trying to help. They try to find other ways to do things. Other ways to do things. Somebody said that, they should have their car because they pay for the maintenance. And then you go back and you check. No. The maintenance isn't coming out of their pocket. Check the former city manager's credit card. $700 for tires on this credit card. They find different ways. They find different ways to get around y'all. And it's heartening when I have to see some of the former workers who have been in this city for years still looking for a job and knowing somebody that using our tax dollars going out to eat over 100 times, taking trips. Come on. Y'all are here to help us. We know it's no free money. We know it's no free money. But until y'all really put your feet down, Ms. Harrell don't have no power. Ms. Harrell make her recommendations. They don't accept her recommendations. She wanted 90 days. One commissioner wanted 120 days. She didn't ask for 120 days. She asked for 90. But she ended up with 120 days. They don't take our recommendations. And I always tell them, if you want to run the city, apply for the city manager job. But no, they want to be a commissioner, and they want the city manager job too. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. We have had enough in this city. And then to have somebody come up to me, get up talking about respect, y'all disrespected the whole city. The way you got this city today, y'all have disrespected us. We trusted y'all. And this is what y'all have given us. Our employees suffering. Our taxes going up to 10%. But you're right. You're right. We elected them. Thank you.
Good afternoon to the board. My name is Nora Tella. I'm a Florida licensed attorney, and I also happen to be property owner here in Opa-locka, the great city of Opa-locka. And thanks to my father, who's sitting right there, the gentleman who's been here for over 30 years in the city of Opa-locka, I have those two properties in my name. The reason I come before you today is to talk to you guys a little bit about the respect or lack thereof that at least my business has experienced and I as a property owner have experienced. I can tell you that I have been harassed. I have been intimidated. I have been in a form of, I would say, an abuse of authority, overstepping of authority from an employee here at the city of Opa-locka by the name of Wilma Wilcox. I have been cited by her. I have had to attend hearings before the special magistrate for two citations that were actually dismissed by the special magistrate, one of which was yesterday. The city continues to be ran like a mob with force, brute force, intimidation, not only to its citizens, but to its business owners. My father has been here for 30 years. 30 years he's been here, a Cuban migrant who came with nothing and continues to serve the community here. He doesn't need any additional struggles from the city that he helps and provides services to. The fact that this employee has come and tried to shut him down, told him, you need to close your doors without authority, is beyond me. And I think the city on its own should take note of that, because I'm sure that the city doesn't need any further lawsuits for that city attorney to need to defend when there's no money to barely make payroll. I don't want to notice the city on a 768-28 notice for abuse of authority and overstepping her official capacity, but I will if I have to. My tenant, who's also sitting here, has been shut down and my property has been without water for almost a month. And Mr. Owen, who's sitting to my far left, can attest to that because he was present at yesterday's hearing as well. We have now done everything that the city has asked us to, as far as payment, as far as building permits, to get our water meter. I still don't have water. And in fact, they went so far, and Ms. Wilcox went so far, as to shut off the water from the adjoining property. And my tenant had no water for 2 weeks. He barely got water last Friday, on the pretext that there was no account. And then I urge the board to look into this, because property 14349 Northwest 27th Avenue has had a water account for many years. There was no reason. She had no reason and no authority to shut off that water. I urge this board to really look into not just the actions of the commissioners who have made headline news, but to look into the actions of its employees as well, because it's deeper than that. It's rooted much deeper. And we talk about coming together, and I see in this board some sense of transparency, finally. But we have a long way to go, and we need to really attack the root of these issues. And I've been screamed at. I've been yelled at by Ms. Wilcox. As a city employee, that's not how you treat someone. She told me yesterday at the special magister hearing that I should be ashamed as an attorney. I stand proud before this board today. Not ashamed, because I will voice my opinion, and I will voice what is being unjustly done to myself and to my tenants and to other citizens and business owners in the city. How would you want property and business owners to prosper when there's hurdle after hurdle that we must come to with no help from the city? I also ask you to look into this. I have right now on the corner of my property two signs that were put up by the city of Opa-locka. I never received a phone call. Ma'am, I understand that you're the owner of this property. May we put a sign up on your property? This is private property. I ask that those signs be taken down. They have no right to be there. And I could tell you this. I'm an attorney, and I've been barred now for 5 years. When I started practicing law, I told my dad, you know what, it'd be great if I could get a sign right on this corner. You know, I could, you know, get some, you know, publicity, maybe pick up some clients. And I put a sign up of my own on that property. I could tell you, within a week, I had an inspector there telling me that I needed to take it down. So I need to take down my own sign on my property, but the city of Opa-locka could come in at any time and put up whatever they wish on my property. That is not fair. And I urge and I ask that those signs be removed immediately. And again, I would like my tenant to come up, and she doesn't speak very good English, but in as well as she can, because Ms. Wilcox came herself, would not even allow her to go into her cafeteria to remove her personal belongings. She told her that she would call the police. It is my understanding that with an occupational license here that's issued by the city of Opa-locka, that you're able to run your business. And in order for the city to take away your occupational license, there must be a hearing on that. And please correct me if I'm wrong. But that's not what she did. She came in and she told her, you better close your doors. If not, I'm calling the police. This is unjustified force. This is, again, operating on intimidation and clearly, in my opinion, an abuse of authority. What is the solution that I would propose? Again, look into who we are hiring, who is helping the city. Because it's really a poor judgment on the city's part to continue to have someone like that in a position that she holds to continue to intimidate. And it, had it not been for me, that my father called me, he said, hey, there, she's trying to shut me down. What do I do? I said, you don't shut your doors. She doesn't have the power to shut your doors. But she surely has tried. She has tried again, again, and again. She's cited me. She has sent other officers to cite me because she doesn't do this job by herself. She won't put her name on it. She sends Officer Derek Owens, or she sends Owens at the far end to do her dirty work. And to me, this is not in her capacity as an officer or an official of this city, but to me, this is a personal vendetta that she has against me. And that is just not right. That is not right. I would like for her to say a few things because she was the one that was present for her. I'll translate for her.
Okay. Hace casi un mes atrás.
About three, almost a month ago.
La señora Wilco junto con dos más inspectores.
Madam Wilcox with two other inspectors.
Fueron al coffee shop que yo tengo en la auto parts.
They came to the coffee shop that I have at the auto parts store.
Y me dijeron que uno de ellos no quería decirme que cerrara.
that one of them didn't want to tell me to close.
Pero de repente la señora Whistle llegó y me dijo, tiene que cerrar, señora, porque sin agua usted no puede trabajar.
But shortly thereafter, Officer Wilcox showed up and told me that I needed to close my doors because I couldn't operate without water.
Yo sé que no tengo agua, pero nadie me ha dicho a mí que no puedo cerrar, que tengo que cerrar.
I know that I can't cook without water, but I didn't know, nobody had come to tell me that I couldn't operate the rest of my business.
Porque el inspector que fue a poner un sign allá,
because the inspector that came to put a sign on my door,
yo fui le pregunté, ¿cuándo van a ponerme el agua?
I asked him when were they going to connect my water.
Y él me dijo, I don't know. Y yo le dije, porque yo tengo que vender café, sin agua no puedo vender café.
And I told him because I needed water in order to make coffee, and if not, I wasn't going to be selling anything.
Él me contestó, compra un galón de cinco galones y a café.
And he told me his simple solution was, and I remember this, was buy yourself the 5 gallon of water and go ahead and make coffee like that.
And yo le contesté, no puedo porque la tubería va directamente a la máquina.
And I told him I couldn't do that because the coffee machine is connected directly to the water line.
Me dijo, pues no va a hacer café por long time.
And his response was, you're not going to be making coffee for a very long time. And I tried to explain that to Miss Wilcox, but in my poor English, I don't think she understood me. And she told me that if you have to close your doors right now, if not, I'm going to call the police. I didn't know that I couldn't operate the business without water, and I had tried to explain that to her, but she told me that I needed to close. I've now had almost a month that I don't work. I was every day in the city trying to get the water connected. Every day I went to the city, and every day they would tell me something different. And one day it was get this application, and the next it was another application. I've talked to almost everybody in the city of Opa-locka. I've talked to almost everyone in the city of Opa-locka. I've told everybody my situation, and I've gone and taken care of it. But, I mean, to this day, just to make short, what she's trying to say is we still have no water, okay? Everything's been paid. I had to deliver, and I get to attest to this because I delivered this check. I delivered a $2,081 check to the city of Opa-locka 2 days ago. Okay? Plus, another check that she delivered yesterday in the amount of, ¿cuánto fue el cheque de ayer? For $232. It's clearly all about money here. This is all money. How much? I almost felt like telling Miss Wilcox, tell me how much. How much is it going to cost? Again, this is not a mob. This isn't going to private business and shut down. If not, I'm calling the police. This woman has two small children. She needs to work. And there's no reason now for a month we've been out without water. A month. And she has tried to cite me for everything to the point that I have spent time from my schedule as an attorney to come and defend my my position here, and I'm glad that the special magistrate that the city has appointed has sided with me and dismissed those violations. But how much longer is this going to go for? We've been living this since May. She even shut down, and this is another issue, she shut down the car wash, okay, that used to be in the back. The car wash used to have a license. She's refused to issue that license because that was actually operating under a well water, okay? They refuse to this day to give that woman an occupational license after she's had that license for years. And you can look it up. I believe it's under Mrs. Brown. I don't remember her first name, but it's Supreme Car Wash or something like that. I'm a mother of three children and a single mother. The city is not to blame that I have three children. But the city is to blame that I haven't been able to work for the last month and provide for my three children. Last Friday, I took all the permits. Went back on Monday. The papers that I had gone to turn in were in the same spot that I had, that were when they were placed on Friday. On Tuesday, I had gone back. Now they were telling me that I needed two additional permits. Yesterday they gave me the two additional permits. And I told them that I already had now all of the permits. I still have no water. But I opened my store. And we asked the gentleman to the far left, Owen, if we could open to sell water and sodas. And as far in this aspect, I did go speak to Mr. Abia, who I believe is the assistant city manager. No? Different title, I'm sorry. I don't. Right. He told us, and because I wanted to confer with him before telling her, open your doors, that I wasn't going to get now a new violation from Ms. Wilcox because we were now overstepping her authority. And he said to me, the ball is in our court. The ball is in our court to give you water as expeditiously as the city can. I stand before you guys today and we still have no water. I don't know how expeditiously that will be. Everything's been paid for. Money has been delivered. I hope that there won't be another request for more money because I don't know where we'll get it from. So I thank you for listening and for listening to her with regards to all these issues. But, you know, I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel, to be honest with you, with the city. I don't. It's very pessimistic with what's been going on and continues to go on. Thank you.
Well, let's see if... you'd like to respond, or somebody for the city, obviously.
The general understanding, I really would not like to have this conversation in this forum. I don't think that that's the right place to have the conversation.
You don't have to go into detail, but I think it's appropriate to reassure your citizenry that this complaint, if you will be looked into.
Well, I will say this. Unfortunately, I've never had the opportunity to meet with you, and so I've never had the opportunity to address whatever the issues are that you all are having. Having heard your concerns, I've met with staff briefly, and I will get more information from them. But what I'd like to have happen is for my assistants right there, if you or someone can set up a meeting with me
so we can get to the bottom of this. I understand that the primary issue was a well water issue, and some other issue regarding not actually utilizing the city water. And so we need to resolve that. And once now that you've brought this to my attention, we'll take care of it in the way that it needs to be taken care of.
I appreciate that.
Not a problem. My assistant, Ms. Lawson, will get with you, and we'll set up a conference with either you or your tenant or whomever as soon as possible.
Okay.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Thank you. I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you again.
The floor is still open for public comment, I'm assuming.
Chris Roberts, 2260 Service Road. One of the complaints that we have, the direct attack on parks is personal. Ever since me and Natasha Irvin have gotten involved with it, as far as the boosters, it became personal. But it's not personal when you have employees keep getting raises every three or four raises, and you're already in a financial deficit already. You're already in a financial bind. But I guess if you don't have any children, you wouldn't care about parks. That's one of the biggest issues. The other part is we're working hand in hand with Mr. Brown. The city of Opa-locka really don't give us anything at all for the kids. And we don't go out begging and borrowing. We get out here and sell food and do whatever we have to do to attack parks to make it better for our kids. I don't know if everybody have observed everything going on with the great city of Opa-locka. Half of the children that's being arrested are kids out of the great city of Opa-locka. All the gangs, the gun violence, everything. And if you're not in the mob, along with a couple of that circle in the mob, you're not going to get anything here. We have people in high places doing nothing, but we're still paying them. We have people who want personal favors. We have a person that had a husband, family, spending all the credit cards and the city money, not their personal money, the city money. But we're supposed to stand up here and say, oh, we respect you. Oh, we like you as a person and as an individual. That's not how life works. Respect is earned. I said it to them. She had a problem with it, and she told me to leave. That comes from the mayor. She had a problem with me saying that respect is earned. If you respect me, I respect you. But if you don't respect me, I'm definitely not going to respect you. If you have you're in a financial deficit, we called Ms. Melinda and different people and spoke with them. Okay, we don't have a problem with downsizing parks, you know, and making people work, shut down two parks and downsize it into the village. The village is ran out of a political thing for the city hall anyway. There's no meeting should be held in here for city hall. You pay $11 million for Fisherman Street, why you don't use it? On the second floor, they have an office up there, so why don't use it up there? The lights go on here, the computers, everything for the kids are being taken away from, everything. You have Mr. Brown begging and pleading, okay, could we do something? Could y'all help us with the children? So I'm getting no help, but during the summer camp, during football season, every fund, every amount of funding that Ms. Christina Banks have up there have a guideline of everything that we receive in Parks and Recreation. Why is it going into general funds? Of course we're not going to show no money if you're using it for your own personal use.
Good evening. Good afternoon. Natasha Irvin, 670 Dunad Avenue. I've been here all morning. I had me a nice little list and ready to respond to things that happened during the day. But now I feel the need to say I'm never disrespectful. That's not my call. When you start talking about respect, that's a big thing. I can stand here and tell you how the diocese and Opa-locka have disrespected me. When I pick up the newspaper, I didn't have to pick up the newspaper. When my phone started ringing Saturday night, hey, you need to read the paper. When I go onto my Facebook page and people tag me in all these articles, disrespectful. When you travel your summer vacation and before you leave home, your husband tells you, you will not tell people we're from Opa-locka. But that's where I'm from. 41 years in this city, I've been here, 41 years. The last 26 as a homeowner myself. What goes on in this city is disgraceful. It's disgraceful. We have seen city manager after city manager come and go, city attorney after city attorney come and go, the city commissioners come and go. And the sad thing is, everybody come and go, but the citizens are still here to pay the bill. All of this comes down on me, not just me, taxpayers who have mortgages and that their taxes are paid. That comes down on us. And it's not fair to us. We can talk about disrespect because, see, in a regular commission meeting, every citizen that got up here and spoke would have been asked to sit down within the first 30 seconds of being up here. And it's not fair. Do we have conversations over here? Yes, we do. But if they weren't so busy trying to hear what we got to say, they could take care of city business. It happens all the time. My name get called in commission meeting when I'm sitting there minding my own business. It don't matter. Nothing don't even matter because it's personal. And I don't care anymore. I don't care. But what I do care about is my city, the children in this city. Chris said, we have kids that have been arrested and are in jail now. We've had three killings in Opa-locka in a very short period of time. But then we barely have police to police us at night. And the things that are important to you all is like what somebody is saying while they're sitting over there. No, that's not important. What should be important is why are we in this situation? What can we do? Mr. Sternheim, I have the greatest respect for him. Sir, employees that are well-connected will never be fired or let go because they are connected. It's not going to happen. And I'm sorry to say that, but it's true. I sat here in a meeting a couple years ago, and the guy that was being interviewed for the city manager position said, one thing I can say is there's a right and a wrong way to do everything. There is no Opa-locka way. I say, oh, sir, you just lost that. They're not going to call you. You won't be hired. Trust me. But he was right. He was right, but he was wrong because there's an Opa-locka way, and Opa-locka way is the only way. I feel so sorry for the lady that just left here because she's telling the truth. I'm just waiting my time because my time is soon to come, too. But I'm ready. I'm ready. Because it makes no sense. Little things like our babies are getting ready now for our homecoming celebration here on the park. I went to get a permit for the parade, $40 permit. Past, we never paid for the permit. It was always given to us. But I was told that the city is in a state of financial emergency, and they could not waive a $40 permit. I thought that thing over, and it bothered me. And since then, I've had over 30 people that offered to pay for that $40 permit. And for me, it's nothing personal, because if I have a personal issue with anybody, I'm going to come to you and talk to you about it. That's what adults do. But $40, it threw me for a loop. But that's the city of Opa-locka. We can't give our kids $40 or bypass. It's not even a real change of money. Bypass a $40 permit so that our babies can show off what they do all year. But I've told this commission, I've told our commission, the children in Opa-locka are not important. Their children aren't important here. But I can tell you this, when they start cutting doing those cuts in parks, be very careful, because what you cut in parks, you will spend in the police department. Because you know how you're going to get to work. But when our kids are out there with nothing to do, you don't know how you're going to get home. May not be a car there for you. It's sad the way that our city is. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed even sitting here listening to what you guys say most of the time. Mr. Rollins, poor thing, I hear him in my sleep. You got to do, something has to be done. You got to be. In Opa-locka, there's no checks and balances. There's no accountability for anything that you do that's wrong. It doesn't. I thank you guys. I love the fact that you're here. I just wish that your work is not in vain, but it is, unfortunately. So, I don't know. Maybe we're going to have to take a ride to Tallahassee and see the governor. Maybe he has an answer for us. I don't know. I thank you again.
When I speak like a resident of Opa-locka that I am, no commissioner. Well, I really put attention about the resident, but they say it's good, and that's the right way to do in fighting for your rights, okay? And that's something that we have to give the opportunity to everybody, like the way they're giving the opportunity to me. Luis B. Santiago, resident of Opa-locka, 1156 per ride. That's my address. And I lived there for 15 years. My house. The same way that you see these people came today to complain, let me say, be ready, because so many people are going to go to the city to the same complaint and talking about the same thing. What is me that I try to say is, let's treat people like business people that they are, because we depend for the resident, yes, for the avalor and tax that we get, for business representing too, revenue for the great city of Opa-locka. My point is, everything has to be done by rules and regulation in the codes that we have, but not to abuse the authority sometimes that we do it. There's so many complaints. My phone ringing every day, and I'm be surprised. Cut the water for somebody that they have an account and they have a license is something that we have to check and see why that happened. Because I have some calls too for people that they have license already for 12 years, and they don't have no water, they don't have no contract, they don't have anything. How they get a license? Let's get people that they really know what they're doing in that department, because they make a lot of problems for business people here in the great city of Opa-locka. And that's the truth. People go back and forth, back and forth. I have some report for a pastor that he have to leave the city a year ago because he cannot get in 5 years the license for his church. He moved to 27th Avenue and 163rd, a couple of blocks from here, in the borderline between Opa-locka and Miami Garden, and the other side, he jumped in the canal on the other side. He applied Thursday for his license out there. By Wednesday, the city called him, just bring this and this and this, only three documents, and by Thursday morning, he had his permit. It's incredible. 48 hours. And sometimes here, we make people wait 3-4 years and even 6 months, and they cannot get through. Thank you. And have a nice day. I think that we'll be here so long.
Anybody else?
My name is Felix Soto.
I'm a union insulator out of 13700 Northwest 47th Ave. Our union hall has been there since 1928. We pay our water bill every month. I'm a coach for Opa-locka for the last 3 years, and it's simple. We've gone through the international taking us over. I know how it is to delegate and cut the fat where it needs to be cut. A lot of the budget cuts for parks, it's going to hurt us. We know that. All I'm asking is don't forget these babies out here. I take 6 kids to my house almost every single weekend. I've coached Miss Natasha's son since she was 5. He's a junior now this year. He's a senior now. So I've been involved in coaching for 14 years. I don't have to drive this way. I live off of Griffin and 95. I pass hundreds of parks that I can coach at, but I choose to be in Opa-locka because I grew up in this area. I grew up off of 116th and 10th. I went to Westview Elementary. I grew up with a lot of people from Opa-locka, so I know where their hearts are at. Their hearts are in the right place. The problem with what's going on is the same thing as you do with people that don't know how to handle that power. You give them power, they take advantage of that power, and that's exactly what's been going on. I'm asking you, not as a resident, but as a coach for the community of this park and this area in general, please start cutting the fat. If they've done something wrong, get rid of them. You know, you got some commissioners. We had a Martin Luther King parade last year, right? All my team was out there. All our boys were out there in the parade. We had a nice time. We come walking down Pervez Ave, and I see a couple commissioners jump out the corner and start walking with the boys. Excuse my French, but it fucking pissed me off. And one of them was just standing here talking to you. I'm not with the fake crap. Simple as that. People that have dealt with me, Yvette, Old Shiverton, Shiver, I'm direct. I speak my mind, whether you like it or not. Sometimes it ain't right. Sometimes it's right. But one thing for sure, I will stand up for these boys. I had one kid out of my 16-man team last year had a D on his report card. He didn't play in the Super Bowl. He cried. I don't give a damn. School come first. If you put these kids out in the street, God forbid, they are not going to get good grades. It hurts me to tell you that this will be my last year in Opa-locka because of certain things that are going on. And it's not just with the commission. It baffles down all the way down the ladder. It's not up there. I can't take it no more. I've stood up and I stood up and I stood up. Right is right and wrong is wrong. If my dots are not in a row, you best believe they're going to come after me because you guys know it. The hate is real. I have a cousin that stays in North Bay Village, and I talk to him all the time. I speak to a lot of people, not just in this area, all the way up to Cooper City, Orlando. I stay involved in a lot of things. I fight for a lot of things, and I get a lot of influence from a lot of people. But please, I'm begging you, don't cut our benefits for these boys, man, because our future are these young men.
Thank you. Anyone else? Oh, I thought he was coming up to speak at the mic.
He said no.
Natasha, is he here? No. Mr. Burke? Oh, okay. He's precious. All right. I think we've reached the end of our agenda. Well, yeah, right at 6 o'clock. Let's see if I can drag it out a little bit longer. No. I want to thank everybody that's here and stayed with us all day. For those of you that came up and spoke, thank you for coming forward and telling us your experience and doing so in a constructive way. I know it was tough. This city has the capacity to touch so many lives. I hope we continue to do so. Thanks to everybody for being here, continuing the work, and let's try to move forward.
Motion to adjourn, Madam Chair.
Sure.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Goodbye, Tallahassee.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.